Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. Let's say you'd like to start a business, have felt the urge for a long time, but wanting and doing are not the same thing. So what do you do? And what key ingredients will make you successful? What will you need to do when serious problems arise? And if you are successful, how do you keep from blowing it? As a winner of the Small Business Administration's Montana Business Person Award of 2015, Shalon Hastings has some thoughts. Shalon, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I was born in Lewistown, Montana, and at that time, my father was working at an auto body shop, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Had the family been in Lewistown area long?
Very long. Both sets of great-grandparents had homesteaded in their respective locations. My father's great-grandmother homesteaded in Utica, and my mom's great-grandfather homesteaded in Grass Range.
Did you know your grandparents growing up?
I did know both sets of grandparents. In fact, my mom's parents are still kicking it on the ranch.
Okay, so these are agricultural people.
Very much so.
And did that make any impression on you, their life, their values, their stories?
Yes. In fact, my sister and I would spend time on the ranch when we were young, every summer, helping our grandparents with miscellaneous chores that we were capable of doing at a young age.
Like?
Bucking bales of hay, cooking in the kitchen for them when they were haying, and trapping gophers.
Take any lessons away from that experience, their experience, or your experience working with them?
One in particular was rising early, getting to work. And I think I was born with that early to rise clock, if you will. So I'm still an early riser to this day.
When did you get interested in the idea of owning a business?
Probably in middle school, maybe even a little bit younger. I remember playing store with my sister.
That's one I haven't heard before. Particular kind of store?
I think it was just a general store, just maybe even candy store.
Okay, so that's you're playing as a child?
Yeah, and that then evolved. When I was in high school, I was a volunteer ski patroller at Great Divide and loved the ski industry, and at one point thought, oh, it would be great to own my own ski area. I would do this, I would do that. And then that, on top of that, the coffee craze was happening at that time in 1993. And I thought owning a coffee shop would be awesome.
Your education?
I graduated Helena High in 1993 and then did get my bachelor's in business marketing and management from the University of Montana in 1999.
So business management and marketing suggests that you were pursuing a business vision in college.
I was indeed. And in fact, the courses that we could select from, I was choosing entrepreneurship whenever possible and business plan writing classes because I loved them.
Why?
I felt like I was accomplishing something towards that passion. And I truly felt at the time any of those projects at some point could possibly come to light for me in the future.
You said that passion. Describe it.
That passion, just constantly thinking of a better way to do a business, a new business possibility for Helena in particular. I kept wanting to come back to Helena. I'd grown up for the most part here in town and just thought I saw some untapped opportunities.
If I had asked you about the time you graduated college, in addition to the idea of thinking about ways to do something better, what would you have said you expected to get out of being in business? Why did you want it? Why, you know, what did you expect?
Well, Brian, I've never thought of that before. I think just a sense of accomplishment, seeing something done by me, maybe. I don't know. It's a good, great question.
So you're here, you're looking around. I think it's not necessarily easy for most of us to see something that could be that isn't. What happened to you along the way between college and your first business?
Well, I traveled to Seattle. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do after graduating. So I went to Seattle and ended up with a job in the insurance industry and didn't care for that. And I kept dreaming about Montana and coming back. After about 8 months in Seattle, I did make the move back to Missoula, and I approached Dave Beaton, the creator of the Taco del Sol franchise, and asked if he had any interest in doing one in Helena.
What appealed to you about that restaurant?
I really liked the food, and I was impressed with the simplicity of the system, and I thought the possibilities were just tremendous for Helena. Helena at that time didn't have any quick casual concept like that yet in the downtown area.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Shalon Hastings, award-winning Montana businesswoman. So what was the result of the conversation with the owner of Taco del Sol?
The agreement was that I would manage his store for a year to learn the business.
In Missoula?
In Missoula. There was just one at the time.
Okay.
It was the original store. And I would then go strike it out on my own in Helena. It became 2 years, and thankfully it did, because I learned so much in that second year to then really open strongly here in Helena in 2004.
What did you learn that was so important that you didn't know?
The employee or labor management, scheduling staff, and how to handle disasters, to be honest. We had a flood one day, and I was the one that pretty much walked in on it. And just the running of the business in general, we at that time, Dave had acquired a cabaret license that helped extend our hours, and so it was working with labor management with an extension. And
labor management's a concept. What are we talking about?
The hiring and firing of people and applying strengths. If you have one employee who's really good, you know, where do you schedule them in the day?
Tell me about it. Give me an example of where you have somebody who's particularly good. Where do you schedule them and why?
So for me, I like having them with me at peak hours so that we can really get through that rush effectively, efficiently. We take care of that customer, and these strong people are really fun to work with. They're easy to work with, and the day just flies by, and it seems effortless. And that's key, coming across the counter for our customer to see that.
Okay. What are the qualities that make an outstanding employee?
For me, I'm looking for that detail-oriented person. I'm demanding of consistency, and it does take some attention to detail to get that done. Consistency in showing up on time and ready to work.
Now, one of the things you hear from different employers, at least I do in casual conversation, is exceptional employees are hard to find, and in fact, some people complain about younger people not being job ready. What's your sense overall?
Well, I look at the two businesses that I own tend to be the entry-level work, and I've simply agreed with myself that it is going to take a little bit longer, a little bit more, not necessarily intensive, but specific training. And I will literally take the time to tell an employee how to greet a customer,
okay,
realizing most times that this might be their first job, or I just want it done a particular way, and I'm not afraid to say it how I like it.
But do you find in that sort of training, and as a restaurant customer, I appreciate it when people greet me in a certain way, and I don't appreciate it when somebody says, hey there, what's happening, or something. That's just not my style. Do you find most of your young employees receptive to training, receptive to improvement? How would you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10?
Let's say most of them are about in the 7 to 8.
That's
on
not
that
bad.
Scale. It is, and I think part of it is just how you approach it. And I am just quite honest, and I'll just come right out and say it this is my business. This is how we've done it. And this is how I want to see it be continued. And this is how I would like to hear you greet the customer. And then I give them an example.
Now, let me read from something that you gave me. This says, objective, to provide excellent employment opportunities for Helena residents in a unique, respectful, and vibrant environment. Now, those are pretty strong words and interesting words. So what is an excellent employment opportunity, would you say?
I think that would be somewhere where you are gaining some honest skills that you can use in every single day of your life and future employment.
All right. Well, now, I'm guessing one of them is attention to detail, showing up to work on time.
All of those are great, great qualities.
Anything else in terms of lessons that you can take with you elsewhere?
One that I really stress is just a respect, trying to create that respectful environment amongst all of my employees. In no working situation, as far as I'm concerned, will you love everyone that you work with. But I believe that you can accept differences and learn to work with others that you might not typically hang out with or consider friends, but you set that aside and you get the job done and you can appreciate what those other people and coworkers are bringing to the table and getting the job done.
Sounds like teamwork in a word.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so you're 2 years at Taco del Sol in Missoula. You start the business here on the walking mall, correct?
Correct.
Why the walking mall? Conventional wisdom among many business people was that section of town, and for some listeners who may not know, there are no cars. Last Chance Gulch stops for two blocks, and you have to walk to get to businesses. So deliberate choice, or was the only place available?
The latter, only place available. In fact, I had made an offer on a location further north on the Last Chance Gulch where there was driving, and my proposal was denied, and so I was crushed. I had my heart set on that location. Dave with Missoula Store said, go back to Helena. There's another location. You've just got to find it. And it just so happened I walked into the original location to be, having been told by a landlord that it was available and it was built out somewhat, that I could use it, and went for it.
Okay. So you start on the walking mall, a place you didn't want to be. Someone might say strike one, someone business at locations, everything. What happened?
We had a line out the door from our opening day.
You mean people?
People. People standing in line.
A good line.
Yeah, very good line. Yeah. And we started off strong, and we were able to just continue in that direction.
Any surprises? Now you're running the business. This isn't apprenticeship. You're not working for somebody. You're running this business.
No, I had worked intimately with the owner of Missoula, and at first, yeah, there were no surprises for maybe the first 3 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And what was the surprise at the end of 3 years?
The economic downturn.
Oh, okay.
In 2008.
And how did that affect you? People stopped coming to restaurants? Money was tight or what?
That, yes, all of that. Fortunately, the Taco del Sol system would allow for me to easily cut back on staff and still be able to complete all of the production necessary. And I was needed back in the store more just to cover some of that labor.
Roughly, at full capacity, how many people were you employing before the downturn?
I would say upwards of 18 people.
That is a lot of people.
And that would be high season, summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the winter, we got pretty lean. We got down to, say, like 10 or 11 people.
Still, that's not a tiny business. That's a lot of different people to manage.
It is, yeah. You know, dealing with full-time and part-time employees. One of our issues was, prior to the downturn, was trying to find enough staff because everyone was hiring and paying a really good wage. That was pretty exhausting.
You raise the issue of wages. What's a good wage? What do you try to pay and why?
I have tried to pay more than minimum wage, and to be honest, I've been burned by staff just not working appropriately for that wage from my perspective. So I do start everyone at the minimum wage, the now $8.05, and they promptly get raises based on performance. And I was one of the proponents for the Raise Montana, the minimum wage increase.
Ballot initiative.
Exactly.
Why? Yeah.
My employees are making my success possible, and so they deserve something in return. And I would love to be able to pay my staff even more than what I pay them now, but I do need my peers to be joining me so that I'm not outpricing my competition.
Okay, you're not at a competitive disadvantage by paying more than others, but you favor raising the minimum wage. That was basically it.
Yes.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We are talking with award-winning Montana businesswoman, Shalon Hastings. Now, sometime around the time you opened, there was a controversy in Helena, a proposal to open the street that had been closed, I guess, during urban renewal, to traffic. And you were one of the business people that opposed the change, wanted to keep the walking mall. Why, especially given the fact that you hadn't wanted to be there in the first place?
I just really felt that it was a unique aspect to Helena that would continue to draw people to that area, especially our tourists.
Okay. Different people had different viewpoints. The people who owned the Parrot Confectionery at the time, not the present owners, were on the other side of the argument. Eventually, there was a ballot initiative. The voters voted to keep it closed. How's it worked out?
I think it's worked out tremendously. And in fact, we have seen a population of stores open, such as the Big Dipper, Luca's Italian restaurant.
The Big Dipper is?
The ice cream shop owned by Anna Doran. And we've just continued. Oh, and then we've seen the Hawthorne open. It's a wine bottle shop. The remodel to Taco del Sol's current location, the Placer Hotel at the time. And we've seen an increase in walking traffic, even in the wintertime, as we've filled in more of those spaces again.
So it still works for you as a business, and you think it's working for others?
Very much so, Brian. We moved our location above ground in 2012.
February. You were in a basement at first.
Correct. Okay. Yes, a daylight basement. And we just literally moved across the sidewalk and above ground, and we've seen a tremendous increase in our business, and it's that visibility and just being part of this crazy scene in downtown Helena.
Crazy scene as in?
More unique businesses opening and other businesses actually who have been in business moving on to the walking mall.
Okay, so you got your hands full with Taco del Sol and a crazy scene in downtown Helena, and all of a sudden I read in the newspaper, you bought another business. Tell us about it.
June of 2013, I realized that I could purchase an existing coffee shop that was not operating to its full potential, and I actually had wanted that location for a specialty market and had bought it with that intention.
Specialty market, like special foods?
Correct. Cheeses, finer meats, spreads, crackers, the sort. So I bought the coffee shop with the intention of taking out some of the tables and putting in shelving and display cases for these options. But then our customers started sticking around and hanging out and demanding more of that coffee shop accoutrement, you know, the baked goods and lunch type stuff. So I went in that direction. I listened to my customers and kind of just watched what was going on and gave up my dream for a little bit and kind of pursued the more coffee shop aspect.
Okay, so why did you switch? I mean, you have your hands full. You're enjoying life. Things are successful. What pushes you to say, I want more than that?
Sure. I like promoting staff internally, and I was able to get staff to take on management of Taco del Sol, and it was fun to kind of hand that over to them and see them gain in themselves, and that freed me up, and I had some time on my hands and felt that I wasn't really contributing much at the time. So I thought, well, I'll do this again.
So as you develop your business, you're following your customer's lead, giving them what they want. But clearly they want more than a coffee shop, because I was just in your shop, The Hub, and there's a big sign for sandwiches, custom-made sandwiches, and it also said we recently hired our own baker. Now, why hire your own baker when there's bakeries around you can buy things from? That's a business decision, correct?
Part of it was just considering that cost of labor and cost of product out there. We did have it. I did inherit an oven in the purchase of the business.
Okay.
Had that in place, and I just wanted to provide some other product that you might not normally see. Some
spices. They
were
good-looking muffins. I didn't sample them. I'm trying to watch my weight.
Okay.
So do the people, are they responding to the sandwich food side as well as the coffee side?
Very much so, Brian. I tried to come up with some unique sandwiches, and we have two options. You can create your own or order one of my specialty ones, and such as the banh mi, and which some people are not very familiar with. It's a Vietnamese sandwich, and people are ordering it.
Now, you smile when you say that.
Yes, I'm so excited that Helena's culinary adventures are expanding. I like to visit San Francisco quite a bit, and I just see some of the food being offered there and try to bring some of that back to Helena.
So why does that matter to you? In other words, it clearly does, watching you sit here, that Helena's would be more or less adventuresome about food, and you want them to be more, and it means something. Why does it matter?
There's so much out there to explore, all the different ethnic cuisines and the spices. And I love a great combination of flavors. We're slowly seeing come to Helena.
I'm obviously not in the food business, but know people who are, different parts of the country. It's a complicated business, and there are public health aspects. And I imagine in opening a business, it's complicated in the sense that public health departments has a responsibility, and I would argue a very serious one, to make sure the public's getting fresh, clean food. I imagine from the business owner standpoint, that's perhaps you see it in a different light. Not that people don't deserve fresh food, but scheduling all that. Can you tell us about how tough it is to do the nuts and bolts of opening a food restaurant?
Just to start with, the equipment that you purchase must be of commercial grade to hold the particular temperatures that are required for safe holding of food, both hot and cold. It is an expensive endeavor to get into for that reason.
Okay.
And then it goes so far, I myself need certification in serving my customers safely and in training my employees to be able to perform that as well.
So you mean that somebody in the government agency certifies that you are qualified to do that?
Correct. It's called ServSafe certification.
Hmm.
It is now being required that at least two people in an establishment are certified. I believe it's two people. And the owner is required to be one of those people.
Okay, then you got fire, you got all these different things. How has that worked in your experience as a business person?
What I've done is I will go up to the city-county building and talk to the appropriate agencies just to get a feel for what they are going to demand of me for plans that I have to submit, the certification, the inspections that I have to go through, just so that it's not a big surprise for myself on those days that I need those things done. And not that something won't come up. It very typically does.
Unexpected?
Correct. Say the building hasn't had their fire inspection for over a year. I get impacted by that.
Because you're renting space in someone else's building.
Correct.
You mentioned that in Missoula there was a flood, and that was you learned how to respond to an emergency. What kind of bumps in the road have you run across since you've been business owner in either or both of the businesses?
Most of them have been at Taco del Sol, and I myself survived a flood here in Helena.
In the basement?
Imagine that. In the basement.
That takes some swimming, perhaps.
Pretty bad, yes. I've had two break-ins. A safe had been stolen in one of those break-ins, and unfortunately I was embezzled by a manager while I was...
That's serious business.
Very serious business. And I was crushed when I found out that that had happened. But I also took some responsibility that I had allowed for that to happen. And thankfully, I had insurance in place, as was the case for all of these incidents.
When you say you were allowed to have it happen, obviously you didn't plan the embezzlement. What do you mean? You hired the person and then were not?
Right. I put her in place so that I could go to Butte and learn the grocery store business to pursue my dream of opening a specialty market. And I wasn't paying attention to the business here.
So what do you do? What's your response to something like that?
I took it in my hands. I informed my employer in Butte that I needed to move back to Helena. He totally understood. I moved back and took the business over again. It had suffered in customer service as well. There was no good management, and I wasn't aware of that. And so I jumped right back into the game and just literally pulled it back from imploding on itself.
The implication of that is that in that scale of business, what I'll call leadership matters.
Very much so. And I've learned that several times over.
One thing I didn't hear you say was you thought about giving up.
I am concerned sometimes, Brian, that I don't give up when I should. There are times when you should just realize that you tried your hardest and it's just not going to happen to what you want it to happen. Fortunately, I don't think I've had that happen. At one point in purchasing Hub and taking it over, I was wondering if I had made a mistake. Bringing a business to a point of being successful when it had gone so far in the opposite direction was a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Turning it around. Tougher than starting from scratch?
Yes, very much so. At least took a lot longer to gain that customer's trust, get the word out. I like organic marketing, and so it was just by word of mouth for the most part that it got around that I had taken over Hub Coffee. And that
people responded then.
They did, yes. Given my success with Taco del Sol, my reputation that I'd built.
Finally, does it matter to you to be a woman in business?
It does. I believe that we are making tremendous ground as women owners in leveling that field and providing a different way of doing business. Women and men are different, and we lead differently, and we manage people differently. And I just think it's an exciting time right now where we are seeing more women getting out of the house and opening their own businesses and following their dreams.
Shalon Hastings, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.